was the sound I was making in my living room last night, DeMarco, when Kyle Kuzma let it go. It's going through the air and splash with 0.4 seconds left. The Lakers beat the Nuggets on a Kyle Kuzma corner three, and never has a meaningless game felt better than the Lakers winning last night. It did nothing other than make me feel better, but damn if I didn't need it.
I know every sports writer, every blogger, every person like you and I getting on the radio had to push the delete button when that shot went in, because when you realized they were drawing that play up or designing that play for Kyle Kuzma to shoot that last shot, you were like, are you kidding me? What are you doing, LeBron? Hey, you made it! Yeah! You know, I mean, that's cool. It's a confidence booster. It gets the win. It gets you off the snide. It snaps your losing streak, but it also gives confidence in the other guys, the non-Superman part of the Justice League on this team, that anybody can be dangerous if we run the offense. So it gives Frank Vogel a lot of credit, a lot more credence to what he's preaching in practice, and it just gives the guys on the floor a big lift. And it definitely helps the fan base, no doubt.
Yeah, no, no doubt about the fans, but I understand that the players are different than the fans. I understand that they have a much more intimate understanding of what is and what is not working. But I don't care how intimate your understanding is. If you go six games and you can't make a shot, I don't care how confident you are. I don't care any of this stuff. Eventually you start saying, hey, what the hell's going on around here? Why can't we get the ball to go in the basket? It finally went in the basket last night. And not just Kuz, but really the Lakers collectively had a really hot night shooting the ball. It was just nice to kind of just have normalcy return, because the longer it's gone, the more convinced you are that this is the new normal. That this last night was the first time. And look, the Lakers had some stuff last night that wasn't great, but it was the first time since the reboot of the season where they kind of felt like the Lakers again, where it kind of felt like, okay, we're going to catch a break. We're going to make the big shot. We're going to get a big night from LeBron and AD and Kuz. It's the first time that's happened since the reboot, and it happened just in time. They only got one game left in the bubble before the playoffs start.
It was complete and comprehensive. It was a team win. Is that what you're kind of referring to? I mean, it wasn't a blowout. It wasn't a runaway, but you know, they were cooking on all cylinders or things they need to do to win games.
Put it to you this way. Let's say that shot rims out. Let's say it doesn't go down and Denver ends up winning the game in overtime. It wouldn't be great, but I would still feel pretty good about what I saw. They made shots, right? You look at the numbers of what they did last night. They made shots. They made 48% of their three-point shots. They made 54% of their field goal attempts. They made shots. That's what hadn't happened. The look of it was good, but the ball going through the basket, I think you had to see it once or twice before you go into the playoffs, because the last thing you want is to go deal with Devin Booker or go deal with Damian Lillard or whoever it is they end up playing in that first round, and having gone 3 weeks and been shooting 20% from the three-point line. They needed to see the ball go through the hoop, and it finally did.
I don't know why people doubt Dame time, Damian Lillard. What else do you need to see from this guy? I mean, he's scary. He's scary enough to warrant some fear if you have to face him in a postseason, but I still think the Lakers as a whole will beat Portland. And this is – the other thing that stood out, there was a Dion Waiters sighting last night. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. When you start chipping in, was he 27 minutes? You know, yeah. I mean, 27 minutes play. I mean, that's what you expect from role players. That's the stuff that's going to put you over the hump. Guys you don't expect to chip in and have great games, you know, here and there, and can supplement what AD and LeBron and, you know, Kyle Kuzma are giving you. When you have your super subs that come in and play big minutes and they can be counted on and you have confidence in them. I mean, that's the stuff that lifts teams to higher levels, in my opinion.
Well, and what they played last night, the guys they played, is a lot more what they're going to play in the postseason than what we've seen a couple of nights previously. I know there was no KCP last night. We know that Rondo is still getting right, that he's going to ultimately come back and get some important minutes as well. But we didn't see a ton of Horton Tucker, who'd been playing a lot previously. We didn't see any Jared Dudley. We'd seen a lot of him. We didn't see any Quinn Cook. We didn't see any J.R. Smith. So these are the guys that probably won't play a huge role in the postseason. That we're looking at Markieff Morris. Dwight is Dwight. You're going to get him. But Dion Waiters, I think you're going to get some time with him. I think he's going to play. Alex Caruso at the 20-minute mark. You just a lot more of what I would expect to see in the postseason last night, whereas leading up to this, it felt like they were kind of all over the map.
Yeah, 27 minutes, 12 points for Deion Waiters. And look, I want to encourage some of the people out there with Twitter fingers, don't delete. Because whatever you're saying about Danny Green now, I'm going to come back and revisit. You're going to love him come postseason time. You know this. Come playoff time, you're going to love him. When you start facing these smaller teams or these quick guards and all of a sudden you don't hear from certain people, it's going to be because of guys like Danny Green. So don't delete anything you're putting out there about him right now. So we'll have a chance to come back and revisit if we have a show in the future.
I hope you're right, and I'll leave it at that. He has been ice cold, man. I like Danny Green. I agree with you. He was really important to what Toronto did last year. Danny Green's a nice player. He has not been great for the Lakers so far.
No. He's still trying to find it, but like you said, some guys, this is what they do. You don't hear about them during the regular season. Are you – rarely talk about him in a positive light during the regular season, but when it matters most, you'll be talking about him either on the defensive end, definitely, or hitting some big shot that either puts you ahead or gets you back in the game. That's just how he's built, and that's what he does.
Let's take a listen here to LeBron James. Here's LeBron talking about Kyle Kuzma's big night last night.
You said throughout the year that you've got confidence in Kuz and what his role in on this team has evolved. What have you made of his play in the bubble, and how do you think that could change things, if at all, as you guys get into the postseason games?
I think the best thing about the time that we had off is Kuz got an opportunity to get healthy. You know, he was hampered with his foot injury, ankle injury throughout a lot of the season, so he was playing catch up. It allowed himself to get healthy, and you know, he put a lot of work, and you know, his confidence is just, you know, soaring. You know, he's playing some good ball, but more importantly, defensively, he's just been locked in. You know, and just taking a challenge on any given night, no matter if it's his opponent or anyone is scoring, it doesn't matter. You know, he's taking a challenge, and that's a step in the right direction of his growth.
You know, it's funny, DeMarco, because I know he'll never do it because he doesn't need it, and I'm sure it probably doesn't interest him. LeBron would be a great coach. Because listening to what he just said right there, that was coach speak all the way down the line. Look, my guy, he's finally healthy. Hey, look, yes, that was a big shot. We're going to absolutely need him to hit big shots. But what I really liked was his defensive intensity. This is exactly what you would expect Frank Vogel to say, only it's coming from the best player on the team, the best player in the league. This is what makes LeBron LeBron. It's the leadership. It's knowing which buttons to push. It's knowing how to drag a guy along or motivate a guy or get him or cover him, if the case may be. That listening to him talk, he sounded so much like a coach right there. It was crazy.
Yeah, the only difference is you could, like, when you get those fortune cookies and whatever your fortune is, you can add in bed, and it's kind of fun, right?
You ever done right.
With fortune cookies?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
With LeBron, everything he says about somebody else at the end, just put for me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
His confidence is great for me. We're going to need him to hit big shots for me. But he's right. You know, as many weapons as you can develop on this team and as much confidence as you can instill in certain players, your teammates, it's only going to make LeBron that much more dangerous. We've already seen in his younger days that he could drag a rock to a championship. You know, he can do it by himself, but if you give pieces and give confidence and build other guys up, it's only going to make it easier for him, which means everybody wins.
Yeah. It just gives him a little bit of a margin to be human, right?
Right.
He's never going to be a regular human, but instead of having to be the guy that goes, you know, 40, 15 and 15, he can be a guy that goes 30, 12 and 12. That it just kind of gives him a little bit of wiggle room. And Kuz is obviously going to be a big part of that, but this is where Anthony Davis comes in. That Kyrie Irving is a great player. Weird dude, really good basketball player. Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love may be a little bit overrated in the grand scheme of things, but Kevin Love's had a nice NBA career. He's never had a guy like Anthony Davis. Dwayne Wade's the closest thing. And Dwayne Wade, well, fantastic and a Hall of Famer and all these things. Dwayne Wade is, I guess he's kind of close now that I think about it. But giving him Anthony Davis, he's never had this before. He's never had a guy that could be the MVP of the finals and it wouldn't be a stretch. And they could win. Yeah,
it's a perfect environment for Anthony Davis and LeBron. Like you said, LeBron's never had this, a machine that could work for him, that's on his side, that can actually help, like share the load or carry the load or do whatever. But if you can somehow make those egos work, and that's what happens in the NBA, it's usually the egos that gets in the way of two great players functioning together. But think about this, man. I mean, if you're Anthony Davis, all you have to do is do what you do best and dominate. You don't have to worry about all the rest of the stuff. That's LeBron's job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The greatest tag teams in the world, it was, you know, one guy would come out and do all the promos and the other guy would do the work in the ring, and they would work well together as long as they put their egos in check. So I see the same thing out of LeBron and AD. Look, you just do what you do, I do what I do, and we'll be hoisting trophies at the end of the year every year if we can keep this together.
Lakers Last Night is sponsored by Wingstop, freshly made just for you wings, sauced and tossed in 11 mouthwatering flavors. Get yours delivered to your door at wingstop.com. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Michael Thompson joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on what the Lakers did last night. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, Lakers get a nice win last night against Denver. Kuz knocks down a three right before the end of the game, and all is well in Lakerland. Joining us right now, none other than Michael Thompson. Good morning, Michael. How are you feeling?
I'm always in a positive mood, unlike you two.
What are you talking about? Wait, you're talking about positive moods, and you're coming on spreading negativity.
That's right, because I'm trying to bring you guys up. You know, Travis, he's always looking for the negative thing to look for instead of just appreciating all the positivity that's going on in the Lakers and the sports.
No, Michael, I was so thrilled last night watching that game because I'm like, oh, good. I get to actually enjoy what I saw last night and not be terrified about what was coming up in the playoffs. Was there never a point in the bubble so far where you've watched the way they were playing, where you watched the way they were shooting the ball, you had that, hey, what's going on here feeling?
No, I really wasn't worried, guys, even though they looked horrible for a few games, because you could just tell that they were playing out the string. They had clinched the number one seed, so they figure, okay, we just got to make sure stay healthy now. And you could just tell when you're not, DeMarco, you played at the highest level, and so did you, Travis, in college. You played at a high level. You know, when your mind and your body really isn't really into it, you're not going to play your best. Mm-hmm. And so I knew they really weren't into those games because they were just waiting for the schedule to play out so they could play the real game starting next week. And once those rolled around, probably against Portland, I had no doubts that these guys were going to dial in and be ready to go and hit the ground running and start making their shots.
Well, first question, if Jesus is guarding you, do you take the shot, Michael Thompson?
If Jesus is guarding me?
Yeah, that's what
Kuz said. He doesn't care. Kuz said, if it's Jesus, I'm still taking that shot.
Yeah, but I'd worry if Jesus, because Jesus could float above me and block anything I try to put. So I would say, if Jesus could walk on water, you know he could fly.
No doubt. Secondly, what did you think? Game on the line, you've got AD, you've got LeBron on the floor, and once you see the play develop and you realize they're dialing this up for Kyle Kuzma to take the game-winning shot, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought they would definitely go to LeBron. I thought LeBron was just dribbling through a shot and just shoot a three because he was shooting them well in that fourth quarter. And, of course, I thought, well, if he was an option A, Anthony Davis would be option B. But I think maybe Frank Vogel drew that up to give Kyle maybe even some confidence going into the playoffs, knowing that they're going to need him to be that third guy to step up and play like this consistently. So maybe, you know, playing along with some mind games, saying, I'm going to draw this up for Kuz. And if he doesn't make the shot, you know, we go to overtime. It's no big deal, but at least I'll give him the confidence zone. I believe in him, and Kuz came through for him.
Michael Thompson joining us here on the morning show. Michael, LeBron was talking about how it's taken a little bit getting used to playing in an empty gym. The gym is dark, that it's just kind of a different sight line than he's been accustomed to really for his entire life. Could that just be a part of it as well, as just getting used to playing in this environment? That I know you mentioned the mental and the physical part of it, but just the actual logistical part of it, being in an environment that these guys haven't played in years, really.
Yeah, of course. This is like like the AAU games back. These guys are going back 15 years, 10 years. And you're right, you're playing in Staples Center or playing in any other arena where it's packed, and now you got to play in an empty gym. It does get some getting used to. Imagine, DeMarco, you're out there in the L.A. Coliseum or in SoFi Stadium playing a football game with no fans in the stands. That would be kind of weird. Or, Travis, you in a baseball stadium pitching with no – and you could hear the pop of that glove with every pitch because there's no noise coming from the stands. It is a weird feeling.
Couldn't do it. I was a guy that fed off the crowd. Every single action shot I've had is me playing to the crowd, and it would pump me up. It would take some adjustment. I think I could do it, but it would be a little bit weird. I agree with you 100%. What's your stance? And Travis, help me out. Is it flip switching or switch flipping? You know, going from one speed
the second one
to the
switch
next.
Flipping.
Switch flipping. I mean, yes. Just turning it on when necessary. What's your stance on that as it pertains to this year's Laker squad?
I don't like it. Kobe and Shaq used to do that a lot, you know, just flip that switch. And they were so great. You had the best outside player in Kobe, the greatest inside force in Shaq. And I guess they could get away with it because those guys were so much better than anybody else, and they could get away with that at times. But now it's so evenly matched between Toronto, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks. Even Denver has a lot of talent, and Houston can get hot. So you got to. It's a dangerous game to play to switch that switch on and off from time to time, because sometimes you'll try to push that switch to on, and that electricity, that juice won't be there. So I like to try to keep it at an even keel the whole way, DeMarco. I mean, if you're going against Larry Allen across the line one Sunday and then going against a lesser player the next, you know, you got to keep that level high and play like you're playing against Larry Allen every Sunday.
Michael, if I had to go against Larry Allen on Sunday, my scout team offensive guard from Wednesday and Thursday is getting the hell beat out of him. That's the truth.
Really? How did that make a difference? If you're beating up that guy, how would that get you ready for a guy like Larry Allen? Probably, I think you would agree with me, the most dominant offensive lineman ever.
Oh, no doubt. The strongest guy. You ever put on a pair of shoulder pads in your life?
Yeah, I have, but I mean, not to hit anybody.
Okay, but there's the laces that hold the pads together right in the middle of your chest that no one ever touches. Your equipment guy does. He was the only guy in the world that's ever ripped those out while I was playing. Like, he just grabbed it and ripped those right out, and like my pads started to fall apart in the game, and I'm like, damn, they let you loose?
That's some superhero stuff right there. That's just crazy. Michael, you've said this a million times, that it's who's on the court at the end of the game is more important than who's on the court at the beginning of the game. Why does Kyle Kuzma appear to be much more comfortable when he does start?
Well, you know, as young guys, it's the ego. Everybody wants to start when they're in their early 20s, when they're in their 20s. Some guys can accept coming off the bench, but Kyle looks at himself and thinks of himself as a starter. So when he gets a chance to start, he feels that's his natural role, even though he's good coming off the bench too. But he's just a young guy who would prefer to start, probably, if you gave him his druthers. And so when he gets a chance to start, that sort of pumps him up and gives him more energy. Simple as that.
Are there anyone other guys that you think are – I know you're a team guy. Everyone's important. Everyone has a role. But outside of LeBron, outside of Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma, we talked a lot about. Is there anyone else, JaVale McGee, Dion Waiters, who 27 minutes, 12 points, Markieff Morris, is there anyone else that you think needs to elevate or is going to be so important come postseason that we're not really talking about right now?
I would say Danny Green. He shot the ball well yesterday. He's going to get a lot of open looks, and if he's got to shoot – before in the playoffs, he shot 45% from three. He's got to do that. He's not going to take a ton of threes like Clay or Steph does, but when he gets his opportunities, he's got to knock them down. Obviously, Caldwell Pope and Caruso, all those guys are important too, but Danny's going to be starting. He's going to be out there, and if he's knocking down his shot, he's going to be there the closing five-man. So he didn't shoot the ball well the first few games in the bubble, but he shot well yesterday, and we saw what a difference he makes when he shoots the ball well.
Michael, you mentioned that first round matchup against the 8 seed, whoever it is, you think it's going to be Portland. Is Phoenix just as dangerous as Portland? I mean, they have not lost in the bubble. Devin Booker has just gone crazy since they've gone to Orlando. Are they equally dangerous to Portland, or is just Dame just on a different level?
No, Phoenix is too young. If they had to face the Lakers in the first round, DeMarco, they wouldn't even look the Lakers in the eye. They would be so intimidated. But Portland ain't like that. Portland's the real. They got some veterans over there who've been through the battles, been deep in the playoffs, and they're dangerous to me. So Phoenix is too young. They'd be just excited to be there. But when Portland, it ain't going to be Phoenix. It's going to be the Blazers. And when the Blazers get there next week, fellas, they believe they can win. Don't go in there thinking that this is going to be an easy five-game series. Damian Lillard, and now that they got Nurkic back, them boys think they for real now.
Have you been through that in your career where you can just smell that a team doesn't even want to look at us? Like, we got them before opening tip, just mentally. They're too young. They're just not battle-tested. You been through that before?
Yeah, only thing I was on the wrong end of it when I was in Portland going against Magic and the Lakers.
What did that feel like? DeMarco, you just know?
I would look at, I wouldn't even look Kareem in the eye because I know we had no chance.
Crazy. Wow. Said,
let's just get this over with, please. I want to get out of this alive.
Wow. Wow, it's, wow, wow. Yeah.
Michael, when you watch these games, and I was struck by it again last night, and you and I, we've had this conversation before, and I know that you've advocated a four-point shot at different points. Devin Booker hit like a flat-footed set shot from about 43, 44 feet last night, and it was just bottom. It just, boom, he knocks it down. We know Clay can make crazy shots like that. Steph, Dame, the range, James Harden. I mean, are we getting close to a point where a 35-foot jump shot is just a regular part of basketball, that there's nothing extraordinary about it anymore, that the range, that do we just keep pushing it back and back and back?
Getting to that point, we're already there. And you see LeBron come up from 35 feet. You see Bradley Beal do it. Devin Booker, yeah, I mean, you got about 12 or 15 guys in the league who can do that and do it consistently, and it's not really a terrible shot, because they have that kind of range now. That's why I keep saying we need to add a four-point arc and bring even more excitement to the game.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Is that a new skill, or could guys already always do that in basketball? They just weren't allowed to do that.
I think guys could always do it. It's just that back in the old days when we played, it was frowned upon to shoot a bunch of threes. It was kind of gimmicky. People thought it was a trick shot sort of thing and gimmicked up the game. That's what I always, when I say now, we need a four-point arc. The old fogey like Travis always says, no, it would just gimmick up the game. It wouldn't be, it'd be too weird. That's what people used to say about the three-point line when it was being talked about and being introduced into the NBA. Say, no, it'll make a mockery of the game. But back in my day, we used to shoot those shots in practice, but you wouldn't dare pull up from 30 feet or 25 feet and shoot a three back then. Shucks, DeMarco and Travis, we shot maybe one, two threes a quarter back in the day. So now guys shoot two threes in the first minute of the game.
Trav, I would get on the Wayback Machine. I would pull World Be Free into this current NBA. And so just go.
World Be Free, he's a good – but think about a guy like Reggie Miller or Larry Bird. Those guys would make those shots. There's no doubt in my mind those guys would make those shots.
Yeah, yeah. The game has now gone from inside out is now inside in. That's why today not everybody's not looking for the next Shaq or the next Hakeem or Kareem. Everybody's looking for the next Steph, Clay, or Kevin Durant, who can shoot from 30 feet comfortably.
Michael, you mentioned that you think Denver is a talented team and they might find themselves in the middle of it. Where are you on Houston and how they're playing right now, the way that Harden and Westbrook are going together? Are they a problem, or are they still going to do what they do, and that is be out that second, third round?
Houston reminds me of a guy like DeMarco Farr, who says, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to just keep bull rushing Larry Allen. I'm never going to try to beat him with quickness. Just keep bull rushing. Keep bull rushing. I'm just going to try to beat him that way. I'm never going to change. That's the Houston Rockets. They're always going to try to beat you to that one style. It hasn't worked in 4 years. I don't know why they think shooting a thousand threes is going to win a championship. That ain't going to win for you.
Man, look, on my list of things to do to Larry Allen, bull rush was not one of them.
Yeah, it's a bad plan. Bad plan. Yes. Michael, always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. You bet.
See
you. You got it. Michael likes to give me a hard time. I love the idea of a four-point line. I mean, it does feel kind of
really
rockin' jockey. Remember that thing on MTV back in the day where they had that circle that was like worth 8 points or whatever it is? But think about it. If we, like he said, we got about a dozen guys in the league right now who are taking 40 footers and making them. Why shouldn't it be worth more? If inside the line is worth two, if outside about 25 feet is worth three, push it to 40 feet. Why not four?
Has there been a sport that's changed their scoring requirements? You know, like
I mean, the
NFL, the 2 point conversions, they've made it more possible to gain more points per touchdown. But yeah, I mean, to add more points to it, I guess they did with the three pointer. Yeah, you're right. It's happened before. Yeah,
give it a shot. Why not? I mean, look, and if it's a circus, get rid of it. This is the part I've never understood. Just because you do something doesn't mean you have to leave it in forever. If it goes in and it's a disaster, pull it out. I mean, you can do that too.
Yeah. The fastest change, or they thought it was going to be like an advantage or something that was going to enhance the game, was when they introduced those new basketballs.
Oh yeah,
and everybody hated
it. They got rid of
how fast
they Right. Well, think about reviewing pass interference, right? That came and went in a year. Gone. It didn't work.
This is true. It does not work. You're right. Four-point man. Yeah. I'd be willing. Yeah, no doubt.
All right. The Dodgers need to find some bats. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. DeMarco, I want to go back to something you said earlier when we were talking with Kirk and we were having our conversation about the upcoming Rams season. And we started talking about the secondary and Jalen Ramsey. And you made a comp to Deion Sanders. I just want to make sure I heard that right. Are you saying that he's got kind of the swag and kind of the off the court stuff or off the field stuff like Deion does? Are you saying he's as good of a football player as Deion Sanders?
It's this. I get the same feeling I got from Deion when you see him. He just doesn't look like any other corner that's out there that's playing. I mean, he's different. If you lined up every corner in the NFL, it would be easy to pick out Jalen Ramsey because of how he's built. He's got long arms. He's very tall. He can run, but he's got these long legs. But he's a long strider, but he's also quick. You know, it's just like, wow, the guy can do it all, and he's just got these gifts. But besides that, I mean, when you're talking to him, and this is funny, and I hope this doesn't sound weird, when you're interviewing him or around him and listening to him talk to the media, just like Deion, it's almost as if they glow. Like, there's this inner, I don't want to say rage, but just this competitiveness in everything, even answering questions, that's in there, and it's palpable, and you can feel it, and you don't want to really cross the line because there's a chance it could be an explosion. It's combustible, and the only other guy I got that from is Deion at cornerback. So usually you get that from receivers. They're kind of diva-like in their behavior, but this is the antidote. It's the same way, but at corner. He doesn't want to give you anything. Anything in the air, he believes is his. And I heard this from Aubrey Pleasant, his coach, just real quick before a game, like, can you describe him for me? And he said you have to show them, or guys you can just tell and they get it done. And the guys that you have to show, there's a lot of those guys. The guys you have to tell just once and they get it are special. And he's one of those guys. All you have to do is mention or hint, this is what I need, this is what you want, and he goes out and does it. And then when the ball's in the air, when the ball is snapped, the talent takes over. So it's the best of both worlds. And that's why I asked JB the other day, how much does that cost? And a lot, you know?
Yeah.
You definitely want that guy on your side because he makes you play with 10 on the other side.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Todd Gurley is gone. Brandon Cooks is gone. And those are names. You know, if you're a fantasy football guy, those are important people that you need to pay attention to because they're going to score you points and they sell jerseys and all that kind of stuff. I wonder if this upcoming season with the Rams isn't much more about the other side of the ball, because while you have Aaron Donald, and this is a little bit like what we were talking about with LeBron, that as long as I got Aaron Donald, I'm starting in a really good place because I have the best defensive player in the league on my team. You mentioned Jalen Ramsey and how different he is and how he's a special guy as well. But Corey Littleton is gone. Dante Fowler is gone. We saw them rework that secondary on the fly last year where we went from, you know, Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib to a whole new crop of guys. We saw, you know, Eric Weddle is gone. Clay Matthews is gone. A bunch of guys who played a lot of plays for the Rams last year are gone. And, oh, by the way, Wade Phillips is gone. You got a new defensive coordinator that's coming in with a new philosophy. Is this the part that's going to look the most different for the Rams coming in, is on that side of the ball?
No doubt. Schematically, the names on the back of the jerseys, but there's, you know, John Johnson III is the guy they missed last year. He wasn't there, so that's why you had to play Taylor Rapp a little bit more, a younger guy, and teams kind of, you know, once they identified that, they attacked that. So, you know, he's going to be back, so they're going to be different. But, you know, Corey Littleton, you know, to me, I thought there was a little bit of a mistake there when they turned over the captain of the defense, the guy that wore the dot, when they took it away from Corey and gave it to Weddle. Weddle has earned it, but so did Corey Littleton. So there was a little bit of a change there, and you saw some problems in the red zone. There were some miscommunications that you did not see, absolutely did not see a year before. So that was a bit of a change. So maybe there might be a steadying influence with a new guy. All the jobs are identified, or they might be new. Whoever has the dot this year, it'll be your job and your job only. It won't be any sort of confusion there. So it might be addition by subtraction, but I agree with everyone else and with Kirk Morrison when he came on. I think linebacking or linebackers is going to be an issue. I think you're going to have to figure out who those guys are. And I think maybe the group you start with might not be the group that you finish with towards the end of the year. And not just inside. Micah Kizer is the guy that I thought would have had a great season if he did not get hurt in the preseason, but he'll be in the mix. But also on the edge, the guys mm-hmm. that are bringing pressure on the outside, I think that's going to be important. If you can't contain those quarterbacks we mentioned, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and everyone else who happens to scramble or can buy time, if you can't keep those guys contained, then what's the use of having an Aaron Donald who wins? There's always an escape route. So those outside guys, Samson Ebukam is going to have to step up and be good. Justin Lawler is a guy they talk. Patrick Natrez. A lot of guys are going to get their and Leonard Floyd, who's just coming in, who will probably get some work moving on the outside, rushing the passer. All these guys are going to have a job to do, not only to win, to get sacks on their own, but if you can't, at least build the wall so they can't escape, so that guys like Aaron Donald can win up the gut and keep pressure on the quarterback to help the back end.
Yeah, I know JV mentioned this when we spoke with him yesterday, but Dante Fowler was a really good football player. And yeah. And he really got a lot done doing exactly what you were just talking about, that Aaron Donald demands so much attention that means somebody else is going to be able to go one-on-one. And he took advantage of that as well as anybody else. With him gone, and, you know, we've seen some other guys go through there, whether it was Sue or these other guys. Michael Brockers will be back again, but he's more of an inside guy as well. They're just I don't know who that other guy is going to be who's going to eat because Aaron Donald has taken up so much attention.
If I'm Aaron Donald, I like playing with guys like Dante Fowler because I don't even have to talk to him. You know, you see certain guys, they come out and they're lining up with Aaron for the first time, or they don't want to get in his way. So, Mr. Donald, where are you going? If you go this way, I'll make sure I stay out of your way. Fowler could care less. I'm going mm-hmm. towards the quarterback just like you are. It's a race to get there. Aaron likes that because if you're going at it, you know, with your hair on fire, great. I can play off you. You know what I mean? And if, yep. If I'm taking up two, then you better win a single block versus a running back. And Dante Fowler feels the same way. So that mentality is definitely going to be missed. Now, for what Fowler gave you, the effort, he's a fastball hitter, a fastball pitcher. What he gave you, I think some guys can actually replicate. I think some guys can actually get better with their technique. But his demeanor, his attitude, his want-to was just like Aaron's. When the quarterback drops back to 7 or 3, Dante Fowler felt like if it is to be, it's up to me. So that sort of mentality is what you're looking for. Could the technique be better? Absolutely. Could guys actually win more or be more of a force than Dante Fowler? Absolutely. But that want to, that desire to get paid or to be just as big a star as Aaron Donald, that has yet to reveal itself.
All right, Ben Lyons is in for Sedano today, joining us for
What's up, fellas? I'm doing well. Travis, because of the state of the world, I have not gotten to see you since you kicked John Ireland's butt out at Black Gold. Congratulations, 2-0, Johnny I. I love
it. Yeah, it was good. It was good. You know, we were talking about the next time we do it, maybe kind of making it a little bit of a team element. So you might want to, you should get in on that. We should pick whether it's 2-man, 3-man, whatever it is.
Well, it sounds like John needs all the help he can get going up against you. So we might have to go 2-on-1. I don't know.
But, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Ben, we will definitely figure something out.
Ben, what is this 30-mile walk thing? I'm dying.
DeMarco, you didn't hear about this, DeMarco?
No, this first time. What is this?
This is amazing. In the middle of May, I had to return my car. My lease was up, so I dropped it off in Beverly Hills, and it was in between getting the new car, which we were getting 2 days later. So I said, you know what? I'm going to walk home to Pasadena. And it was
from Beverly Hills.
It was a fascinating 5.5 hours, challenging. Thank goodness for the ESPN radio app where I could listen to all our shows, which kept me comfort. But took Beverly East for about 2.5 hours to Silver Lake Boulevard, Eagle Rock Boulevard, Figueroa, and the backside of the Rose Bowl. So just a crazy experience and one I tap into often. I know DeMarco's face right now is like deer in headlights.
No. I feel you on this. I bet that was so enlightening. I mean, what did you come up with?
Well, people are taking a lot of pride in their home gardens during quarantine. There's a lot of horticulturalists amongst us here in Los Angeles. But you know that every restaurant has had to pivot. Every bar or restaurant, if it were still open, was offering some type of new offering or business or trying to pivot or take, you know, advantage of their real estate. So just the idea of just that the city's resourceful and people are changing with the times. And you could feel it kind of on a grassroots level when you're walking by people's homes and businesses for five and a half hours.
We got more in common than you know. I do this often with my family. If we go someplace and if we have enough time, I'll just say, you guys take the car and I'll meet you back home. I'll just walk just to do the same thing. You know, I feel you on that. Maybe
Travis and I can play golf with John Ireland and DeMarco. You and I can walk from the Palisades to Culver City one day.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll be driving. Thank you very much. If I get to Starbucks on my own 2 feet, that's quite a bit. Ben, take me through this. That DeMarco and I were talking about it yesterday, prior to them, the Lakers beating the Nuggets last night. And I wasn't exactly worried, but I wasn't feeling great about what I was seeing from the Lakers prior to yesterday. With that shot going through, I feel like the world has kind of righted itself again. They made a bunch of shots, threes. Where were you on the worry scale prior to them beating Denver last night?
So funny you say that, man. I put up on my Instagram stories about in the first quarter, like, hey, can two great players just make a team great? Because these guys look kind of flat and low energy. And I got a lot of people responding, diehard Laker fans, saying, you're absolutely right. I'm nervous. Yeah, AD looks awesome, but you know, the rest of the guys out of sync. And it just goes to show you, man, that leadership comes in different forms. Could LeBron have steamrolled that game last night by himself? Potentially. But what does that do to elevate others? And what does that do to make everybody feel like they're a part of it? So when you look at the stat line at the end of the night, before even getting to Kuz, Dion Waiters finding some shots, Morris and Dwight Howard combined for a double-double. You know, you have everybody kind of in on it. And then Kuzma, of course, going off, hitting the three, and it just takes his confidence to another level, and the team has something to rally around. So a meaningless game in the stats could mean everything for this Laker team come postseason.
Just from a Lakers perspective and a Laker fan perspective, Ben, I mean, and I heard Stephen A., and this is what kind of spurred this question. He says, damn right, he's worried about the Lakers. Are you worried about the Lakers as a team, how they're constructed, how they're playing, or versus what they're going to have to play coming up?
I'm not as confident with their sort of sitting going as I was going into the bubble as I now am coming out of it. And a lot of that isn't because of their own doing. The bubble setting is just odd for everyone. And LeBron keeps referencing that. And I take his word for it. So am I concerned about them? No. But am I less confident than I was maybe a few weeks ago? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the downtime, right? I mean, it wasn't just a couple of weeks. It wasn't an all-star break or something like that. That, for all intents and purposes, from the league getting shut down in the middle of March to it restarting again basically at the beginning of August, that's an off-season. And we've seen it so many times where what a team is in year whatever, and then the following year, even if most of the pieces are the same, stuff's just different, man. And that's what I was afraid of coming in, that maybe would it, because the Lakers were catching breaks. The Lakers looked really sharp, really crisp. All the pieces fit pretty well together. And then if you just stop playing for 4 months, there's no guarantee that it all kind of fits back together the way that it was. And it didn't look like it fit back together the way that it did before until a little bit of last night. I Ben, what I'm saying is, I really needed to see that ball go through the hoop last night. I feel so much better about it today than I did yesterday.
Because LeBron has always been known for getting off to those slow starts, team finding their footing out in Cleveland. They tried to bring peanut butter and jelly with D-Wade in December and D-Rose. It didn't work. They move on. They make a trade. They go on a finals run, right? He always peaks at the right time. And this Laker team was doing that heading into March. So you don't know what you're going to get in the bubble. Well, now they can actually ascend in the right direction, because for Kyle Kuzma, we're going to get into it over the next couple hours. This is a huge moment in his career. Very cool.
I'm walking to McDonald's, Ben. You inspired me.
That's
not the idea, DeMarco. No. It's not to walk to get a Big Mac and fries. It's
no, DeMarco.
Come on. Do better, DeMarco. Ben, have a great show. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 on the morning show, 710 ESPN.